Heart of Grief is a program by certified grief recovery specialists Lori Pinner and Brian McGee. Brian and Lori are not professional counselors. They do not offer therapy. If you are experiencing a crisis, please reach out to your local emergency or healthcare providers. What Lori and Brian offer in this podcast is an authentic, personal familiarity with the pain of loss and a straightforward approach to recovery that has proven transformative in the lives of thousands of grievers. As proud sponsors of the Grief Recovery Method programs, Martin Brothers Funeral Chapels in Lethbridge, Alberta, are pleased to partner with Brian and Lori to bring you this podcast. We hope our listeners will discover genuine, practical help and encouragement.
Welcome back. This is the second in our remix mini-season of programs. Today, Lori and I revisit the very common tendency of grievers to choose some form of isolation following a difficult loss. Basically, every difficulty associated with a loss has been made worse in some way by the current virus pandemic. The problem of isolation is certainly near the top of these.
In our previous episode, we mentioned briefly about isolation being one of the common responses of grievers. And guess what? We've all been in various forms and degrees of isolation due to COVID-19 restrictions. This certainly creates a grief event for everyone, more for some than others, of course. But regardless of COVID-19, isolation in grieving is always a concern.
Yes, it is. In fact, Lori, do you ever search the internet for top 10 reviews of things you're looking to buy?
I absolutely do.
Now, that's one of my favorite ways to make a purchase decision. Well, in grief recovery, we don't have a top 10 list, but we do have a top 6 list. It's the top 6 most unhelpful responses people make to a loss event. The others are, don't feel bad. Now, we've touched a little bit on that in our previous episode. And then replace the loss, give it time, be strong for others, and keep busy. These ideas may sound very familiar to our listeners. Together, we call them the top 6 myths of dealing with grief. We plan on talking about each of these in future episodes, but for now, let's unpack the isolation myth a bit more. Lori, explain why isolation, or the message grieve alone, is so common as to be in our infamous top 6. In other words, why do people commonly respond that way?
Well, first of all, it is very common. It usually comes from a message we received or learned while we were kids. We may have heard it as, if you're going to cry, go to your room.
Yep. Heard that instruction when I was being overly emotional as a kid. And by the way, that was coming from very caring and loving parents.
Same here. Tears were not okay, regardless of the cause. And yet, there were things I cried about. So I would only cry alone, in my room, or when I was sure that no one would catch me.
So it's common, and we're saying it's problematic. But are there benefits? I mean, why would we do that otherwise?
There are some benefits to being alone when we are grieving. It gives us time to process when our thoughts and feelings are all over the place. It gives us a moment to catch our breath and figure out what is actually going on and what we may need to do next. Also, when we have a loss of any kind, we often don't really know what to say to others, how to respond to them. It seems people also don't know what to say to us and are uncomfortable too. And people can say unhelpful and sometimes very hurtful things. And the truth is, we're often uncomfortable with our own emotions and what to do with them, so we try to avoid that too. Those are some of the benefits to isolating. But let's be clear, the biggest reason for us to choose any of the unhelpful behaviors we've listed is that we don't know any other way. And that is a huge part of what this program is all about. So, Brian, what are some of the potential detriments of isolation?
Let's talk a bit about social deprivation, being cut off from normal human contact and interaction. Recently, I heard a report about a study done at MIT. Headed up by a lady named Rebecca Sachs. It examined the brainwave effects of social isolation on people. and this was over a rather short period of isolation. The results showed activation of a hunger-type response. It created a craving in the participants in a region of the brain associated with hunger. So there was a longing for, in this case, human contact and interaction. Of course, the degree of concern for grievers will vary widely, as each person's isolation circumstances will vary significantly. Basically, we're wired to be social. When we are denied that, even by our own choice, a longing is created suggesting we're out of sync with our own needs at a time when the importance of social support is even greater than normal.
It's so interesting that this response takes place in the same region of the brain as hunger. At times of difficult loss, we often feel a desire for more food. I know I sure do. And Brian, we both know the official snack of grievers is eat more.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And though we can laugh at that, it can also add a real extra challenge for many grievers, the desire just to be eating a lot. And here's another detriment of isolation. We risk going unheard. And we can't overstate the importance of simply speaking our feelings and being heard. In our last episode, Lori, you cited Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in this regard. The quote was, "When feelings are mentionable, they're manageable," meaning when we're able to honestly name and express our emotions, it opens up a pathway to healthy response to those feelings. I'm thinking that Mr. Rogers uses the word mentionable in the quote because it implies there's someone to listen to it. Being heard is key. When we're in isolation, we're not being heard. Feelings go unmentioned and remain unmanaged. And this is a recipe for what we call unresolved grief. Lori, you use the metaphor of a backpack to explain this. Tell us about that.
Sure. When we're faced with a loss of any kind, the feelings attached to it can be really hard and they hurt. But we have no idea what to do with them, so we ball it up and we put it in our backpack. It's still with us, but we don't have to see it or be reminded of it. Out of sight, out of mind. However, our backpack fills up from all the losses, big and small. The weight of it becomes harder and harder to carry. But how do we unpack it, you may be wondering? The first step is to recognize we have things in there, and then take each one out one by one and explore the stories and feelings associated with them. Brian, let's face it, the problem of isolation and grief is multiplied by COVID-19. We're being required to do something that isn't natural or healthy.
And there's our something to think about for this episode. Think of it this way. Being in isolation during a time of grief is like running a multi-day marathon race on a single protein bar a day. Emotional starvation at a time of increased need. And that's a recipe for a wreck. And Lori, it's your turn again to offer our something to do.
Well, there have been all sorts of suggestions in the news and on the internet. FaceTiming, emailing, having a meeting on Zoom or Skype, writing letters to parents in a nursing home. People have been meeting in limited numbers following physical distancing. People have become very creative in ways they connect with others during this time. And Brian, we realize we're talking to people who are struggling with this. Just one small step is what we're encouraging. Our something to do challenge for this episode is to choose one doable thing. Reach out to one person you feel comfortable with. Express honest feelings. If you've had a bereavement, talk about your memories of your loved one. Greet a neighbor from your backyard. Bake something for someone and safe drop it off. The tendency to grieve alone is normal, and it's made more difficult by the pandemic. Isolation creates an emotional deprivation that longs for human interaction. When we're struggling with the pain of a loss, taking a step out of isolation can be hard to do. We get that, but it truly can make a huge difference as you grieve. That small step you could take could be to us by sending us your questions or comments.
As mentioned, we love to receive comments and questions from our listeners. We invite emails to feedback at theheartofgrief.com.
If you'd like to send us paper mail, it can go to The Heart of Grief, care of 610 4th Street South, Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, T1J4P3.
And of course, you can subscribe through your podcast service provider.